Join us now for Call to Worship, dedicated to presenting the truth of God's Word. Call to Worship is sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the earth hear His voice. Praise the Lord, praise the Lord, praise the Lord, let the people rejoice.
I will sing of my Redeemer and His wondrous love to me. On the cruel cross He suffered, from the curse to set me free. Sing, oh sing, of my Redeemer. With His blood He purchased me. On the cross He sealed my pardon, paid the debt, and made me free. Reading Revelation chapter 3, verse 7. To the angel of the church in Philadelphia write, These things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth and no man shutteth, and no man openeth, I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews, and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee, because thou hast kept the word of my patience. I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth. Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out. And I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. So far we read God's holy word. Let's give thanks for that word and pray for understanding of it, application of it, all through and because of the name of Christ. We come to the Father through him and him alone. Our Father, we come to thee in the name of Christ. We come asking in his name that thou will direct us by thy Spirit to understand these words that we have read, to know the need of them for our own application and our own way of learning from them. We pray that we might be a church as they are in our time. It is one of the seven churches that was not called to repentance. And we pray, Father, that we might realize today we should be like that, but we fear we are not. We are churches that need repentance. We are churches that are not as salt and light as we should be. And we pray that thou wilt so teach us and bring us to repentance, bring us to revival, that we will again be a salt and a light in truth, that we will make thy word known, that we will make known again that thou art our creator and our lawgiver, as well as other things that we need to know concerning the gospel. Thou art, as a creator, being denied, and the theory of evolution is being promoted, that the church might take a stand and the church might make known thou art alone our creator and sustainer, and that we may come back to the faith of our fathers in regard to that, so that we may learn of our other sins, especially the terrible sin of abortion, murdering of the innocent, the unborn. We pray that we might see our danger of coming to thy judgment because of it, as judgment came on Judah because of the innocent blood, and we are guilty with them. And we pray, Father, that we might learn these things in repentance before judgment comes, that there at least may be a time of waylaying of that judgment. We pray for the sick. We pray for the hungry. We pray for the homeless. We pray for the war-torn lands. We pray for the persecuted. We pray for the troubled homes and broken homes, the children in those homes especially. We pray for other needs, whatever they may be. And we pray, Father, that thou wilt, in the church, bring us back to thyself, that the church will be once again a salt and a light in our nation and throughout the world. We ask it all in Christ's name. Amen. We have here the word again of the Lord Jesus, introducing himself. He does that with every church, telling them certain things about himself. Each one somewhat different, but here he describes himself in Revelation 3, verse 7, these things saith he that is holy, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. He introduces himself as doing these things, and the first thing he describes himself is as holy. He is the holy Son of God. He is the one that has glorified the Father in all things. He alone is the Holy One that never sinned, and yet the one that took on himself the curse that we deserve and went to the death of the cross. We commemorate that at this time of the year, and we need to see that it is the Holy One who hung on the cross, the Holy One who suffered the mockery of men and was despised and rejected. Sadly, he had to say, and probably righteously as well, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? He saw these things as they were going to take place on the cross. The night before, he prayed in the Garden of Gethsemane, and he sweat, as it were, great drops of blood, knowing what that time on the cross was going to be like. So he must have seen in it much more than we do, and we should see in it what he saw that had brought him to such agony in that time of prayer and crying out to the Father, if this cup can pass from me, let it be done, but not my will, but thine be done. He prayed that three different times. He was holy, always said with it, not my will, but thine be done. We read here the second description. That is true. When he spoke to his apostles the night before he died, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. He is true himself, and he is the way of the truth for us. He is a prophet as well as the priest and the king, and he teaches us the truth and only the truth. And he himself is that. And we did see that in all things, when he says he's the Son of God, that is the truth. Those that accused him and wanted him to be crucified said that he blasphemed, but it was not true. Everything he said was true. Everything was to the glory of the Father. Everything was to describe himself as he really was. Nobody else probably thinks of ourselves as we really are. We think of ourselves in pride. Some people think in despondency. But Christ said, he that is true, he that hath the key of David, he that openeth, and no man shutteth, and shutteth, and no man openeth. He was described as the one that was going to come in the lineage of David. He came in the lineage of Abraham, and he came in the lineage of David. Those things are mentioned different times throughout Scripture. He is the Son of David as well as the Son of God. And we can see that when he asked himself how David would say of him in Psalm 110, we read, the Lord said unto my Lord, sit on my right hand until I make the enemies thy footstool. David was saying it, the Lord said unto my Lord. Later he said, how come David could say that? And it is true. He is there as the Son of David, but also as David's Lord. And we must see that, as the Scripture tells us, it is the way of truth. He is the Son of God. He is the Son of Abraham. Abraham was told, in thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. David was promised that Messiah would come in his lineage, and he did. And he can say here, he has the key of David, and he openeth, and no man shutteth, and no man openeth. He is in control of all things. He is the creator of the world, and he upholds it all by the word of his power. And he is the one that is the head of the church. He has opened the way for the church. And he could say, I will build my church, and the gates of hell will not prevail against it. He can open the way into Satan's domain and save those who before time are Satan's children, children of wrath under the Father. He can do this, and he does it. He is the one that no man can stop him. He says, all the Father giveth me shall come to me, and him that cometh to me I will in no wise cast out. So he begins the work in a sinner's heart, and he finishes it as well. He is the author and the finisher of our faith. We need to see that, and eventually we need to see it for the whole church, and we need to see it for the world as well, that he is the creator. Especially know that in our time, when creation by God and by Christ is denied, when the theory of evolution is promoted in so many places, those of us who believe it need to shout it from the housetops, God is our creator. The Lord Jesus is our creator. God and Christ has created the world, and we must know it, and we must submit to it. We must be thankful for it, and we must give them their place of glory as creator, lawgiver, and redeemer. All those come together. And if we don't see Christ as the creator of the world. We cannot see him rightly because it is another Jesus than what the scripture tells us. We can see this teaching here very plain. No man shutteth and no man openeth what he shuts. And he does that spiritually. And he does that in natural ways. In everything, he's in control. Then he says to the church at Philadelphia, in verse 8, I know thy works. Behold, I've set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. For thou hast a little strength, and hast kept my word, and hast not denied my name. First of all, he talks about opening and shutting himself, and then he states that he has set before the church an open door, and no man can shut it. We can see that in a wonderful way. If we go for a moment ahead to the 9th verse, Behold, I will make them of the synagogue of Satan, which say they are Jews and are not, but do lie. Behold, I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I have loved thee. It sets before an open door that he will make those who are from the synagogue of Satan to come in. And we can see the Apostle Paul was one of those. He was an enemy. He was a persecutor. But he came to be one with the church. He was one that had been of the synagogue of Satan. And he is the one that would come and worship with the others, the apostles, be one of them, and make known the message of Christ. We read here that there are those who say they are Jews, but are not. Many of the Israelites said they were seed of Abraham, as we can read in John chapter 8. When they believed they were of the seed of Abraham, they also thought they were Jews. They were the chosen people. They were the special people of God. They were the circumcised one. But as Christ said later to those described in John chapter 8, you are of your father the devil, and the works of your father you will do. He was a liar, and he was a murderer. So he described them in that way, who said, we have Abraham to our father. We are God's children. And he said, they say they are Jews and are not. Do lie. And we have to realize that today as well, that as a spiritual application, we may not say we're Jews, but many people will say, I'm a Christian. I'm a follower of Christ. And that is the same meaning as what we had here when they say they are Jews. Today we would say we are Christians. But is it true that we lie? If I would have said I'm a Christian in my first years, I would be lying. I was not. I was a hypocrite. I was an unbeliever. And I have to see that I was lying. I had to come and worship before the feet of those that taught the truth. I hated the truth, part of it especially. God chooses, and God elects, and God is sovereign. And that part of Scripture, I did not want to hear. I knew what was there, but I did not want to hear it myself, and I did not want others to hear it. I said, it's there, but it ought not to be preached. We need to preach the whole counsel of God. That's what Paul did. If we don't do that, what do we preach? We lie, and then we have something else. Christ is the one fully in control. I will make them to come and worship before thy feet, and to know that I love thee. We can pray on that basis that Christ will do that today, that those who are enemies, those who are persecutors, we can pray, especially in some of the worst countries. We can take Nigeria, for example. The Islamic are murdering so many there. Thousands have died and are dying. And we can pray that those will be stopped, even as Paul was stopped. We can pray they will come and worship with those who they are now persecuting. We can pray the same for Iran and Afghanistan and China. There are many there that are enemies and are persecuting, but they can be brought to believe. I will make them to come and worship before thy feet. That's not an idle statement. Christ can do that. He had to do that with me. I will make him to come and worship before thy feet, to worship the truth as it is in Scripture, and as the right church believes that truth, and we have to come and worship with them. We need to pray to the Lord Jesus that he will do that today, that he will add many to the church again. We're not seeing it take place. We're seeing, sadly, the church listening. We're in danger of being given over to a reprobate mind in our country and possibly have the candlestick removed. But Christ can do this. We need to pray for awakening. We need to pray for reviving. We need to pray that he will do this today with the enemies of the church. Part of our government is an enemy of the church. It gives sad names to the church and calls those that are seen in a bad way. Our present government is doing that. We need to rightly realize it, and we need to pray for them that they will come and worship in the true church, that the Lord will put his fear in their hearts again, and that will take place in our country. Christ will do that, and he is encouraging this church to continue on in the way that they have. He said, "Thou hast kept the word of my patience, and I will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world to try those that dwell upon the earth." Christ talked about the time of temptation that would come, and we also have it in Paul's letter to the Thessalonians, chapter 2, verse 2, "that you be not soon shaken in mind or troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposes and exalteth himself above all that is called God, or that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now ye know that what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he that now letteth will let, until he be taken away." And so we see here, Paul is talking about that man of sin that's going to be revealed. Christ is talking about to the church when he states to them, this is going to happen. A little bit more of Paul's words to the Thessalonians. "And when that wicked shall be revealed, whom the Lord will consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders." Here we see the working of Satan, but Christ is going to destroy them and bring them to an end. We have Christ promising this church here will be protected, and "I also will keep thee from the hour of temptation, which shall come upon all the world, to try them that dwell upon the earth." Paul had talked about that to the Thessalonians, and Christ also mentions it, as we can read of it in Matthew chapter 24, at other places, spoke of shortly before his death. And then he said he would keep them. He urges them to be ready. He says, "Behold, I come quickly. Hold fast that which thou hast, that no man take thy crown." He is speaking of a crown. Paul talks about when he writes to Timothy, he talks about the crown for himself and for others as well. We read there in 2 Timothy chapter 4, "I have fought a good fight. I have finished my course. I have kept the faith. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give me at that day, and not to me only, but unto all them that love his appearing." Paul speaks of a crown of righteousness that's laid up for him and for others that love and are expecting the appearing of Christ. He says he will keep them in the hour of temptation. And he says, "Hold fast that no man take thy crown." We need to hold fast the confession of Christ. That is the crown, the way of the Lord Jesus. And all of it is from him. All of it is by him. And all of it is to his glory. It's not a crown that we deserve other than the gospel that we should wear and make known. We read here, "Him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God, and he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God, and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I'll write upon him my new name. Again, we can see all of these things here, that they come from God to us, and they are what God does. It is true that it is for those that overcome, as we can read the first part of verse 12, him that overcometh will I make a pillar in the temple of my God. But even overcoming is also by Christ. We read in Revelation chapter 12, they overcame by the blood of the Lamb. We do not overcome in our own strength, but we overcome in the strength of Christ in us. As Paul could say, I can do all things through Christ who strengtheneth me. That is the only way we can be overcomers. Christ said, except you abide in me, and I abide in you, you cannot bring forth fruit, for without me you can do nothing. Christ is the source of our strength as well as our righteousness. When we overcome by this faith and the strength of Christ. That's the one, he says, I will make a pillar in the house of my God, and he shall no more go out. And I will write on him the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. And we can see that later in Revelation chapter 22, there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and the Lamb shall be in it, and a servant shall serve him. And they that see his face and his name shall be in their foreheads, and there shall be no night there. They need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. We do not know how that will take place, but we read, his name shall be in their foreheads. They will be identified as children of God. Verse 12, I will write upon him my new name. And we can see that also in Revelation 22. They will have his name on their foreheads. The name of the Father, the name of the Son. We will go by that name. That's why we're called Christians. And as we said, here they were called Jews, those that were true. And today we're called Christians. Christians are ones that overcome, and they are made a pillar in the temple of God. We read, I will write on him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem. We're identified with that city and residents of it, that New Jerusalem, which will come down out of heaven. So we have to hear that. We have to know that. And we have to plead that we may have the name of God on our forehead, the name of Christ written so that they know that we are believers in him, children of God, through Christ, in whose name we come before the Lord, and in whose name we trust, for there's no other name given under heaven whereby we can be saved, and he alone is the one to be saved by. None other name given under heaven. And we want to go by that name, the name of Christians, the name of Christ.
To God be the glory.
Thanks for listening to Call to Worship. If you have questions or comments regarding today's program, you can write to Zion Chapel, 937 Royce Avenue, Holland, Michigan, 49423. Or their email address is worship@calltoworship.org. For more information on Call to Worship and its ministry, visit their website at calltoworship.org. Listen again next week at this time for Call to Worship, sponsored by Zion Chapel.
Praise the Lord.